We roam from place to place, spending more time in the spaces in between than in the cities. Yet when I wake up frightened and confused, all it takes is Pris to hiss in my ear, to twist my hair around and make a nest of it, to calm me. It's thanks to Pris that I figured out as much as I have. The first time I tore myself out of that dream and found enough words on my tongue to tell her about it, she suspected who I was straight away, because she knows what happened next. She found me in the water. There was a mist next morning. One of those whirling sea fog days that makes it hard to tell where shoreline begins and sea ends. A sort of blurring where time seems to stop. It was like that when Pris, flying beneath a cloud, sees this big chest. She sees it, then hears a baby crying, swoops to take a closer look, lands on me, almost tipping me over, so tries again. Second time round, she steadies herself and settles just below my feet. Talons scratch me and I squeal. She could tell I needed feeding, because after I squeal, I start shrieking louder than a banshee. Pris doesn't know what to do. She's a bird, a bright golden eagle, eats rabbits and rats and, when she's lucky, small flying creatures on the wing. There's a whole heap of things she can eat. Could have eaten a baby, I suppose. Fact remains, she liked the look of me. Black face, big eyes. Just couldn't figure out how to feed me. So she brushes a golden wing over my face. The musty scent of her feathers, the soft swish and tickle of their kiss, quieten me. There are two of us now, Pris and me in the chest, as it drifts to the shore. The tide recedes, wedging us on a slipstream of seaweed. Pris watches over me while, rattled by hunger, I cry myself to sleep. A little later, a spaniel scampers up the beach and starts sniffing around the chest. Pris squawks, flapping her wings. She's so fierce, the dog cringes and scrambles away. I wake up and begin to howl. The owner of the dog hears me, a fat giant of a woman, black hair, rosy cheeks, hands as wide as a bat's wing. The dog leaps ahead of her and she follows, flipper feet pounding the shore. Pris won't let anyone touch me. She just won't let them. Scraps with the dog, screeches at the woman, but the woman inches closer.
Easy, my pretty. What have you got there? Easy, girl.
By now, I'm busting a gut with my howling. And because she's beginning to understand just how hungry I am, Pris yields. Hopping from one foot to the other, she stays close. Says she would have pecked out their eyes, the woman and the dogs, plucked them out and eaten them just like that if they'd hurt me. The woman lifts me up.
Little one, she says. My precious.
Her dark pebbled eyes loom over me, sticky out ears, stringy hair. She's no beauty, but Pris can see she cares. I stop crying as she holds me tight to her chest, the way mothers are supposed to. And when I snuffle up against her and dive down, rummaging for breast, something to suck on to take away the ache in my belly, Pris can see she was right to let her come near. I need to feed. Not yet. The woman wants to know more.
Quiet now, she says.
And slinging me over her shoulder, patting me all the while, stoops to inspect my sea chest cradle. She fingers the blue-green blanket, savours the silky smooth waft and weft of its weave, finds a dagger, a leopard skin drum. Beside the drum, a thin bamboo flute. Then she lifts the pillow and sees the note, reads it, looks inside the pillow, and her mouth opens wide.
Buttercups and daisies, she says. Well, I never. Who would have thought it, Mama Rose? Who would believe it?
She drags the chest into a patch of tall grass and hides it. Takes me home.